You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk. Hey, people. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 17th, 2021. So, everyone knows what it feels like to have all of your crops trampled by an elephant, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you are depending upon that crop to feed your family. In that case, you might even consider shooting that elephant or something. Well, we have a problem here, because since humans are taking over everything everywhere, then the elephants no longer have anywhere to be except human-occupied territory. Nor do they have anything to eat other than what they can find in the farmers' fields. And so in addition to being slaughtered for their tusks, elephants are now also being killed for destroying people's farms. And this 1-2-3 punch of habitat loss, poachers, and now angry farmers is all leading to a distinct danger of elephants becoming extinct. Which would so monumentally suck, in my opinion, that I have no words. A world without elephants? Really? The population of savanna elephants dropped by more than 60% over a 50-year period, and the number of African forest elephants has fallen by more than 86% over a 30-year period. In Africa, savanna elephants are listed as endangered, and forest elephants are listed as critically endangered. So, if you are some small-time subsistence farmer who's trying to feed his family, then how do you prevent elephants from destroying your fields and your fruit trees other than the current practice of simply killing them? Well, amazingly, and not a little ironically, it turns out that elephants are terrified of bees. Yes, people, researchers have discovered that local stories of elephants running away from bees are indeed true. One researcher said she went to prove this thesis for her PhD, and that she had felt her heart fall when the first two elephants she spotted were lounging under a tree that had a large beehive in its branches. However, it was a very hot day, and thus the bees were largely inactive. Plus, the elephants were not shaking the tree or causing any other problems, and so the bees were ignoring them. And therefore, the researchers decided to throw a rock at the beehive, whereupon they immediately heard that unmistakable sound of a large swarm of very angry bees gathering en masse to launch an aerial attack. And the elephants bolted as if a shot had been fired. Other researchers have since discovered that even recordings of angry bee swarms is often enough to send entire herds of elephants running for their lives. But elephants have very thick skins. How can they be so vulnerable to bee stings? Well, it turns out the elephants have an Achilles heel. Or rather, they have three Achilles heels. Though none of them are actually located on their heels, while elephants can, indeed, have skin that is 3/4 of an inch thick, the areas right around their eyes, behind their ears, and inside their trunks are all vulnerable to being stung by a determined swarm of bees. And therefore, subsistence farmers in Africa may soon be surrounding their fields with beehives connected by tripwires that will disturb the hives anytime that an elephant comes romping through. Thus, both protecting their fields from elephantine depredations as well as providing the farmers with a regular supply of fresh honey. Yes, people, sometimes very large problems can have very small solutions. So, I wanted to briefly touch upon a few things now. I recently heard a report on NPR that was about the opium trade in Afghanistan. And the commentator explained that the United States had been trying to eliminate the opium trade in Afghanistan for the entire time that they had been there. But that the economics of the situation simply prevented that from happening. Right. I guess that's one way of putting it. The commentator did not mention those economics consisted of the fact that the CIA has been supporting all of the Afghan warlord drug traffickers ever since the 1980s. But I'm sure that was just an oversight. Not. This report also failed to mention that the Taliban succeeded where the Americans allegedly could not, in that the Taliban completely eliminated the Afghan opium crop in less than a year when they had first taken over back in the 1990s. But that's not all. With, I'm sure, absolutely no sense of irony whatsoever, the very next report on NPR concerned the fact that CIA Director William J. Burns was traveling all the way to Afghanistan to meet face-to-face with the top Taliban leader, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. Right. Be a fly on the wall at that meeting. And another thing I wanted to mention briefly whenever I find myself on the same side as corrupt warmongers such as Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden, I usually figure it's time to reevaluate my position. However, the fact that all three of those people are standing up for some truly progressive legislation, I believe to be a testament to the fact that progressive Democrats now wield some true power in the House and the Senate. And being politicians, Schumer, Pelosi, et al. Are merely bending to political realities. And that's how politics work. My fear is that we will now need to save the progressive movement from the Democrats. And one last thing I want to mention briefly here is that activism has evidently died in Olympia. There's almost nothing I can find, even online events, concerning activist actions of any kind lately, and I can guarantee you that the bad guys are not resting or idling. And if anything, getting active is even more important now than it ever has been. The UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, recently issued a report that was 8 years in the making, and this time there are no more weasel words, no prevaricating, no doubts, and no hesitations. There are no more "we can't attribute this particular weather disaster directly to climate change." And in fact, the very first words of this report are, quote, "It is unequivocal," unquote. And what is unequivocal? This is unequivocal. If we don't immediately put our house in order, we are going to be in very seriously screwed condition very soon. According to this report, disaster is already baked into the cake. They also claim that if we take immediate drastic action, we may be able to mitigate the worst scenarios that are coming up for the second half of our current century. They not only can now directly attribute our current weather disasters directly to climate change, but they are saying not that this is a new normal, but that these are the opening salvos of weather disasters that are going to start becoming exponentially worse each year, far into the foreseeable future. That by 2050, the planet will no longer be able to sustain most of us. The report does emphasize that there is still time for swift action to mitigate the worst of the projected impacts of climate change, but only for the second half of the century. Barring some kind of unforeseen circumstance, these now regular record-breaking heat waves and record-breaking floods and violent storms and all of the other major disruptions that severe weather brings are now with us for decades to come, no matter what we do. You would think everyone would care about the second half of this century, since most people currently alive are likely to still be alive come 2050. And even us older folks mostly have children and grandchildren and such that we care about. But unfortunately, our world is still being run by psychopathic corporate interests who have no interest in any time frame beyond the next dividend payment. And those people seem hell-bent upon maintaining the status quo. And that is even though the status quo is no longer feasible, nor even possible, nor even desirable. While many people disagree as to the causes and solutions to our current woes, nearly everyone seems to have figured out that the status quo is no longer feasible, possible, nor desirable. That's why they elected Donald Trump for president. Because of whatever you want to say about Donald Trump, he was definitely not a status quo. That is also why both radical right-wing movements and radical left-wing movements have been gaining steam. So I guess we'll see where we end up when we get there. So this next thunderbolt is called The Way That Things Work. I occasionally get new people listening to this show, and they may not yet know about how a lot of these things work. And so, I occasionally like to describe some generic, typical scenario that helps illuminate such things. And this week, I would like to illuminate foreign aid. So, in our generic scenario here, the United States government, i.e. Wall Street, makes an appropriation to deliver some kind of foreign aid to some impoverished third world country. Some senators will issue a press release, and they will pose in photographs as we Americans pat ourselves in the back, wallowing in our self-righteous generosity and superiority. Actually, of course, the fact they are appropriating foreign aid in the first place means that the targeted country has something that they want. And this foreign aid is actually a device that is used to steal whatever that thing is from that third world country. And so, in conjunction with all of this, Wall Street dispatches an economic hitman to the target country to inform the local political power structure that they have something that Wall Street wants, and that they can either cooperate with Wall Street's wishes and be showered with gold, or they can fight Wall Street's wishes and be showered with cluster bombs. For our generic scenario here, let's say that Wall Street wants to build a dam. The next step is a massive propaganda campaign to convince the local peasants
that your love is all that matters,
that a dam would bring a prosperous Shangri-La paradise of plenty,
to bring the whole world to its knees,
complete with milk and honey flowing through the streets for one and all.
Don't let me get you down.
Meanwhile,
don't ever let me hurt you,
the local president dictator, or whatever, either cooperates with Wall Street's wishes and is showered with gold, or he resists Wall Street's wishes and is showered with cluster bombs. In either case, a deal is made, either with that current ruler or with his American-backed replacement. A large check from the American taxpayer is written. There is a massive transfer of funds from a bank in D.C. to a bank in San Francisco. Some of these funds are used to pay the American subcontractor who actually builds the dam for the Wall Street investment firm that will actually own the dam and that will make all of the profits from the dam. On paper, though, the dam will actually be owned by some subsidiary that is headquartered at a post office box in the Cayman Islands, thus escaping paying any American taxes on their American taxpayers' subsidized incomes. But that's yet another can of worms for another time. Anyway, there is also a check from the government of the recipient country so that their taxpayers can also help defray the cost of this wonderful American company that is coming to develop their poor, impoverished country for them. And this check also goes to that bank in San Francisco. After the local peasants have been kicked off the land that they inhabited for generations with little if any compensation, and after that land is then flooded by that dam, the profits only foreigners, corrupt officials, and some rich people in the cities, they can claim they are helping the locals out, because once that dam is up and running, there will be a few dozen minimum wage jobs where an overworked local staff that is paid doodly squat actually keeps that dam running. Yes, there is sometimes a small token tax that sometimes goes to the local government, but whatever portion of this tax revenue that escapes military spending and corruption sometimes gets to the actual people who live there, but not always. And even then, it is never very much. In many cases, the only people who can afford the electricity produced by the dam are wealthy city dwellers. So the common people do not even receive that benefit. Torturing and murdering any complainant, along with the complainant's family, often effectively discourages complainants from voicing their complaints. If too many start to complain, though, then the United States government is more than happy to vote yet another foreign aid appropriation, this time for military hardware, conveniently supplied by American war profiteers, of course. And meanwhile, back in the good old US of A, the people have their eyes glued to their corporate brainwashing machine as they are fed boilerplate pap about all the wonderful things that their tax dollars are doing for all of those poor benighted people in the third world. But actually, most of this much ballyhooed foreign aid is administered by USAID, which often acts as a front organization for the CIA, which is itself a mass murdering, drug dealing, utterly corrupt rogue government within a government, and represents yet another very messy can of worms in its own right. And the vast majority of this much ballyhooed foreign aid actually consists of guns and bombs that kill hundreds of thousands of people every year. Which is yet another fact that is rarely mentioned by the talking heads on the media. All of this has been basically standard procedure in American foreign policy for generations now, and from the very beginning of this country, if you simply alter some of the dynamics. And that, ladies and gentlemen, and various permutations thereof, is the way that things work. And if anyone ever wants to further explore any of the things I describe on this radio show, I will be happy to forward links to the journalistic documentation for everything I talk about here upon request. I have a large and ever-growing collection of such links. And so now it is time to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Don't shoot!
Don't shoot!
So, I have no idea of what my racial heritage is. And since racial heritages seem to be the number one excuse people use to exploit each other and fight with each other, then I'm actually perfectly cool with not knowing what my racial heritage is. If I don't know what I am, then I could be anything. And therefore, I can relate to anyone.
I get up every day. It's a miracle, I'm told. So now I live to work. So I hit the road. Squeeze into my hybrid car. Drive as fast as I can. While I scan the rooftops. Yeah, I scan the rooftops.
A few times in my past, I have embarrassed people by telling them that I was Polish after they told some stupid Polak joke, for instance. However, while I may well have some African or Asian or evidently even some Neanderthal blood coursing through my veins, the fact is that I look white, and that is usually all it takes to become a beneficiary of white privilege in the United States. So there is that. There's always that. And as far as that goes, though, according to the United States Census Bureau, non-white people will soon outnumber white people. and the Bureau also recently revealed that this demographic switch has already taken place amongst the American population that is under the age of 15. So, first of all, this assumes that the designation of white and non-white has any actual meaning whatsoever. There have now been numerous empirical, scientific, peer-reviewed studies demonstrating that there are absolutely no inherent differences between the different races of humans when it comes to things such as intelligence or capability or anything else that actually matters, and that all such differences that do indeed exist are purely cultural. And continuing to officially designate people as being either white or non-white just plays right into their artificial racial hierarchy. Designating people as either white or non-white is a holdover from early 20th century laws in some southern states based upon the concept called the one-drop rule, which stated that a single drop of Negro blood anywhere in anyone's ancestry meant that they were legally designated as a Negro. Another thing about continuing to use those designations is that there is a large number of mixed-race children in the upcoming generation, and most of those mixed-race children have a white parent. And designating such children as being non-white because one of their parents is non-white simply spotlights the profound absurdity of legally designating people by race to begin with. So, I've got a special treat for you now. Not only is the toothless old grandpa here, but this week, he gets to take the feature Thunderbolt. So let's give a big one for the toothless old grandpa. Hey, Grandpa. So are you ready for your starring role this week?
Well, son, if you're talking about impressing the three or four people who listen to your radio show every week, then I guess that's better than a slap in the face.
Well, gee, Grandpa, your enthusiasm for my show is an inspiration to us all. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, I gotta be honest and tell you, people, all of these recent developments greatly disturb my peace of mind, they upset my heart, and they perturb my soul. And so listeners might want to hang on to something and prepare yourselves for some no-holds-barred stream-of-thought infuriation over perfidious dissimulation as I plan to unleash some heavy-caliber linguistic artillery aimed directly at the outrageous outrage that is so overly outraging the already overly outraged. Yes, people, now I'm going to tell you what I really think. I think that our entire world is owned and operated by a bunch of sociopathic human mutant hybrids. And I think that those sociopathic human mutant hybrids should be exiled from normal human society. Perhaps we can build them some colonies on some isolated islands where they can prey upon each other and not infect the rest of us with their disease. Yes, people, I'll tell you what I really think. I think we have the technology and the know-how right now to convert this planet into a verdant paradise with plenty of everything for everyone. And we don't have to destroy the environmental infrastructure that makes it all possible. But that we aren't being allowed to do that because our entire world is owned and operated by a bunch of sociopathic human mutant hybrids that I think should be exiled from normal human society. Yes, people, I'll tell you what I really think. I think that up until now, civilization is always meant rich people with weapons making slaves out of the people who actually make, create, and grow everything. In other words, the people who actually produce all the wealth that they are themselves deprived of. And I think that a world like that is always owned and operated by a bunch of sociopathic human mutant hybrids that I think should be exiled from normal human society. Yes, people? I'll tell you what I really think. I think that if trucks ever stop rolling, then there are 3 days worth of food in any given American city at any given time, and that there are not only about 3 possible but probable scenarios wherein those trucks do indeed stop rolling. And not only that, but it appears that if all 3 of those scenarios may play out more or less simultaneously, sometime in the near future. Especially since Americans seem so content to just eat their pie and go to sleep. And I think that unless something unforeseen happens, which is quite possible considering the definition of unforeseen, then our entire civilization is about to collapse into a fiery apocalypse. And furthermore, I think that all of this is happening because our entire world is owned and operated by a bunch of sociopathic human mutant hybrids that should be exiled from normal human society. Yes, people, I'll tell you what I really think. I think that all of this truly sucks a very big one.
Loving a woman, I'll tell you.
Yes, people, I'll tell you what I really think.
My mom, baby,
I think
keep it away,
that a few 100,000 people cannot tell 7 billion people what to do unless a large portion of those 7 billion people
keep it away, wanna do.
Go along with their deal. Yes, people, I'll tell you what I really think.
When I was loving you, woman,
I think we need to stop going along with their deal.
Ooh, yeah. All the time. All the time. All the time. Now, y'all know I didn't want you.
And that is what I really think. Well, Grandpa, you did it again. And now it's time to get to work. But first, we have another edition of Karzai Talk.
From Afghanistan Public Radio, where our ethics policy bans both swearing and bleeps.
From the abandoned American broadcasting truck in downtown Kabul, soon to serve as the command center of the new regional defense hub, I'm Mahmoud.
And I'm Hamid. We're Brick and Brack, the Never Broke Brothers. And here we go with another edition of Karzai Talk. Today's program comes to you with the assistance of the Friends of the Islamic State, making the world safe for danger.
So, my younger brother, we may be losing this wonderful truck if President Ghani is serious about being the new defense hub of the region.
You mean just because this happens to be the best-equipped communications facility in the entire country?
Also because it's the only thing the Americans left behind that has GPS.
It's true. Unless our American friends have already succeeded in putting a GPS chip in my distinguished successor.
Yeah, so he'll always know where he is.
So they'll always know where he is.
Of course.
Hello, you're on Karzai Talk.
Hello, I'm Martin, longtime Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman, first-time caller.
Martin, welcome.
Thank
you. Are a retiring Army General, aren't you?
Well, my colleagues think I'm pretty darn gregarious, but...
I think what my brother wanted to ask you, but he's too retiring to just come out and ask it. Mm-hmm. Now that you are leaving the service, do you happen to know of anywhere he might get hold of some spare Humvee parts?
It's for a friend.
Of course.
Guys, I have to tell you, I'm going out of the service exactly the way I came in.
Poor as a mosque mouse?
No, sir. Mm. Yelling at my subordinates. You know, Hamid, I had a good little chat with your successor a couple of weeks ago about your country becoming sort of our HQ in that whole region.
Yes, sir.
That would be key to your plan of fighting the IS and the Taliban and all the rest for the next 10 years.
A generational struggle is what I call it.
Hmm. That makes it sound like an argument between Mahmoud and our dad. So, General, this takes me back to the old days when...
When he used to call the palace his home instead of now when he calls his home the palace.
But do you have a question for us?
Or a pledge. Either is good.
It's true.
No pledge. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal, but I don't happen to be a fan of a Hindu Kush companion. But I do have a question. Hamid, let's just say that our friend, your successor, is more interested in forging new ties with, let's say, the Chinese and, let's say, the Pakistanis than he is in having U.S. forces engage with him in, let's say, a generational battle.
But you're just saying.
He is.
Yes, sir. Would you be into making yourself available for a groundswell of grassroots support for you to return to the presidency.
Keeping in mind, this is a country where we don't have grass, let alone roots.
General, I value my role as an historical figure. Mm,
he was the first public radio host to have his own tote bag.
So I wouldn't want to do anything to tarnish my role. In the long run, nothing is more important to me
than being the Afghan Tony Blair.
Well, we certainly could get you his deal with Kazakhstan.
Then we can talk. Thanks for the call. Oh, poor Kazakhstan. They couldn't even get the Winter Olympics.
Oh, please. The best we can do is be in the finals to host the athletic competition for young porn stars.
Really? What competition is that?
The Triple X Games.
Stop it. Hello, you're on Cars I Talk.
Hello, I'm Mullah Omar's younger brother. First time caller.
Oh, hello, caller. What do we call you?
Mullah Jim Omar.
Mullah Jim, welcome. Is it true that your older sibling died 2 years ago?
Yes, it's a tragic story.
No?
He was in Pakistan for some time. Everybody knows, of course, how good Indian food is. Indian restaurants are everywhere.
Oh, yes, I could go for a lovely curry myself right now.
If I know you, you could even go for a nasty curry right now.
I know that's not true.
But there's a reason you don't see a lot of Pakistani restaurants anywhere besides Pakistan.
The surly waiters?
And then he was in the hospital.
You mean Pakistani hospital food.
So why did he take this long to find out about his passing?
We were solemnly pledged to keep it an absolute secret until the moment when John Stewart revealed his meetings with President Obama.
So, Mullah Jim Omar, why did you not decide to take over the leadership of the Taliban when your brother died? Mm. I was always ready to assume the awesome responsibilities of my brother were he to have had one of those accidents that you can never completely plan for.
Oh, like when you wired the bomb to my accelerator but forgot the batteries?
Sue me. They ran out of AAAs.
Well, as you know, some of the fighters like being controlled by Pakistan. Some don't.
Oh, yes.
Some of them want to engage in peace talks with the central government. Some don't.
Right.
Some of them would swear their lives to protect whoever succeeded my brother.
And some won't.
Well, but the way things are going, Mullah Jim, the worst that could happen to you is that you go into exile with your new protectors.
You mean?
Yes.
Chinese food.
Thanks for the call. We had help today from the War Foundation. War, it's what we're fighting for.
Legal services for Cars I Talk from the law firm of Ketchum and Newcomb. I'm Mahmoud.
I'm Hamid. Join us next time for a pledge drive shortened edition of Cars I Talk.
Very shortened.
This is APR, Afghanistan Public Radio.
Fortunate son, he was doubly blessed. Corporate cronies and the chiefs of staff bowing to the image of the golden calf. Starting up wars in the name of God's son, gonna blow us all the way to kingdom come. Man of God, man of God, that ain't the teachings of a man of God. Man of God, man of God, that ain't the preachings of a man of God. Coalition of the fearful and the judgmental, patricians, politicians, and the fundamentalists. You never have to tell. spent. You never have to tell them where their freedom went. Homophobes in the high command, waiting for the rapture like it's Disneyland. Hide all the bodies from out of view, channel all the treasure to the chosen few.
That tune was from Eliza Gilkyson, G-I-L-K-Y-S-O-N. Before that, we had Karzai Talk from Harry Shearer. So that's about it for this week. I want to take note first, though, before I go, that there is hardly any activism going on anywhere. I can't find it even online now. At least during the lockdown, it was online, but we need to get back to work because the bad guys aren't resting, okay? So, yeah, that's, I guess, all I got to say on that subject. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is Dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile,
thank you very much.